Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 11:37 p.m. and that is Paris time. And I thought today was a very interesting day, where the pound has pushed back up through the 120 level, and we saw also some meaningful appreciation by the Japanese yen. So it has now strengthened by over 10 yen since the peak for the dollar, with that big downside key towards the end of October. So the yen has now broken its or the dollar has broken the sequence of higher reaction lows, and the pound is back above the 120 level, which was the lower side of the overhead trading range. It's now testing the region of the 200-day moving average. So certainly a very positive response to the Fed minutes. Now the big question is, how much further is the pound going to go, and then will it find support in the region of 120? I did think that 120 was going to be a meaningful area of resistance because it is the lower side of the overhead trading range, but the dollar looks like it is going to be coming lower from here, and that then, of course, has a knock-on effect for gold. So gold prices were up an extra $5 in here today. But I think just looking at the daily chart, it's very clear that the downtrend has been broken. And the price right now is finding support in the region of the peak from back in October, which is about the most benign outcome one might wish for. So then when we just zoom out a little and look at this over the longer term, then the price is stabilizing here in the region of the 200-day moving average. It's very clearly broken the downtrend. It's demonstrating some support in the region of the psychological 1600 level and the region of the 200-day moving average. So those are all positive developments, but it will have to sustain a move through the 200-day moving average in order to, I think, lend some credence to the view that this is more than some short-term steadying. And then I think it's also particularly relevant to highlight silver. We had a good discussion about this at the chart seminar on Monday and Tuesday, and there was a debate about whether this was a failed upside break or not. But the price did get just about down to 1750, and there was, I think, there's a reasonable conclusion that that is the area where a midpoint danger line could have been imposed. So then we've had this rebound, and silver is back above 20. Has the first step above the base dipped into the underlying range? Yes. Has it completely failed? Well, it was certainly touch and go for a good few months, but now prices are rebounding once more. And even though the 200-day is trading below the 1000-day, there is the potential that what we're likely now to have seen is a bit of a whipsaw, and instead that silver has the potential to continue to appreciate from these levels. And if this is a failed downside break below 20, then it enhances the scope for silver to go straight back up and test the $30 level. I've begun to see some news items about the possibility that auto manufacturers are in the process of retooling to start using platinum instead of palladium. Now, platinum prices are still not back above the $1,000 level, but it has broken the sequence of lower rally highs that's been in place since the beginning of the year. And I think that there is clear potential that the platinum is going to do better from here. But then, if platinum does better, I do think that there's the potential that it'll be played as a pairs trade relative to palladium. If retooling is going underway, that and palladium is still trading at double the price of platinum, then that's going to remove a major source of demand for platinum. Then, of course, we have the whole question about hydrogen fuel cells, and platinum is a much more significant catalyst in that reaction than palladium is. Then we have the questions about what's going on with banking. And I've had a couple of different conversations about this. So when we think about credit and the banking sector, there was one of the delegates at the Chart seminar was relating the fact that his wife is a senior legal banker, or banker for, or excuse me, a lawyer for the banking sector, and her bread and butter business is organizing corporate loans, and that he said she's never been less busy, that because of interest rates or because of prevailing inflation rates or slowing demand, there's just no business. So she's never been in a situation where there's been nothing to do. So within the Eurozone, then, we have the threat of recession and high energy prices and a lot of fear. And through all of that, the activity across the banking sector has basically evaporated. So banking stocks, though, are still going higher from here. And they've clearly broken out now. They're trading above the 200-day moving average and above the upper side of the base formation. That's been in place for most of this year. If we then zoom out, well, we can see that it hasn't been the most consistent of trends. But the pop on the upside at the end of 2021 certainly began to suggest that this was a higher high. But it wasn't sustained. And then we had the big chop down in early 2022. But now the price has stabilized again around the 80 level and is starting to appreciate again. And if we then just look at how these bank shares have done over the course of the last decade, well, they're still at a fraction of where they were trading back in 2007. So base formations are often categorized by the sheer volume of failed upside and downside breaks, and that has certainly been the case for European financials. If the euro continues to appreciate and the dollar goes down, and we start to see more pressure coming to bear on the in global investment community to begin to start thinking about what alternatives to only investing in the USA might look like. Because Europe certainly has problems. There is absolutely no question of that. But a perhaps more relevant question is how well priced in are those issues? But certainly we're seeing the European bank sector starting to push up here, and that's really quite positive. Now, when I was talking then with someone, I was out for dinner last night with an Australian friend, and he was saying that it was rather the contrary. So that he has friends that are senior loan officers with ANZ, and they've just had another record year. So demand for credit is exceptionally robust. So Australia is in an interesting environment because the banking sector there too is pushing on the upside. So when we think then about, well, what exactly is going on here? Well, it's quite possible that the worst of the selling has taken place in most of the emerging markets and most of the ex-US developed markets, that they have stronger growth, that a lot of the issues with the global supply chain have been ironed out, and that you can still see there's potential for more recovery in interest from foreign investors. There's really been no need to go outside the USA for the last decade. Whereas if the dollar does trend downwards, then that's going to be an enormous push. It's going to force people to start to think about what an alternative asset universe might look like. One thing is quite clear, it's that when gold tends to do best, and most particularly when it trends over the medium term, that's in response to a weaker dollar. and a less or less healthy US economy. And we know that a recession is on the way for the USA. Well, we're in recessions already in Europe. So there's already a valuation discount. And eventually, the valuation in the USA will come down to somewhere close, although perhaps not as low as we see in Europe. So emerging markets are certainly also starting to catch attention. Now, the CSI 300 in China has was in negative territory, and we have two separate arguments about what's going on in China. The first is that the coronavirus is spreading rapidly, and there's a new batch of tests that are being plugged into people that have already been inoculated, just to see whether they're carrying these different variants. But so that's one argument that that's going to slow down growth, and that's what's weighing on the broader market. But then we have the property sector. So when we think about the I think really significant decline that we've had in Chinese property prices, the leverage that's been exposed, the massive bankruptcies within the property sector. That's been exceptionally negative for sentiment. And since the Premier China US Dollar Property Bond ETF IPO'd or listed on the stock market back in 2021, it's lost almost 75% of its value. Now we've got a good solid rebound underway. And the Chinese government announced almost $1 trillion worth of stimulative action in here today to support the property sector. So there's going to be loan guarantees provided to the property developers, and not just the state-owned property developers, but also the private ones. And that should forestall the threat of additional bankruptcies, even while the economy continues to, I think, encounter difficulty because of the coronavirus. China is dealing with the same issues as everybody else now. And they are quickly learning that if you want the economy to recover and you want to get people out and moving and spending, then you're just going to have to ease up on COVID. Now, of course, that comes with political cost, but it's the same political cost that everywhere else had to deal with as well. And as far as we can see, there aren't that many politicians have really had to pay up or pay for the comeuppance of lockdowns. Then, when we think about Brazil, well, they have the new administration there, and inflation figures are coming down. So there's the potential, at least, that Brazil has done enough to get inflation under control, and the Bovespa was up in really quite an impressive fashion in here today. And of course, because the dollar has been quite weak, then the real was also a bit firmer and starting to come back, or the dollar is coming back down following that failed break on the upside right in the middle of this month. And then Mexico is also exhibiting relative strength here. So inflation there is starting to come down. Economic growth is surprising on the upside, and the Mexican stock market index has rebounded in really quite emphatic terms. So there's certainly, I think, the argument right now that what we're seeing is the beginnings of a significant migration away from US assets, that it will be other parts of the world, both developing and emerging, that are have greater potential to outperform over the next few years. And that's a very meaningful difference. And certainly gold tends to do well in those kinds of environment, because when the US underperforms, it's usually because there's a good reason to doubt whether growth is going to be sustained there, because they're so actively devaluing the currency. Now, we're not quite there yet in terms of cutting interest rates or increasing the size of the balance sheet again. But I think investors are willing to think about what that's going to look like when they eventually do it. And I think with that, I'll leave it for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.